Amen. All right, just remain standing, if you will. Turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. Appreciate that song. Amen. Amen. Get a lot of requests for Brother Hall and the choir singing that song. Amen. In the past. And it's a blessing. I'm glad we're still singing it. Amen. The Lord's still protecting His people, watching over His people. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 5, our text that we've been looking at in dealing with this thought about the duties of husbands and wives. And we've looked at, already dealt with the duty of both alike. We dealt with the special duty of the husband, and we're dealing now with the special duty of the wife. This will be part 3 on the special duty of the wife. But if you will, look with us in the last verse of chapter number 5, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." I want to read that again. "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes. Yes. Help us, O Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Well, as I said in the text, we're looking at the duties of husbands and wives, and dealing now with the special duty of the wife. Let me just say again that the main duty he mentions in verse number 33. Verse 33 is a summation of the verses that have gone before it. When he talks about submitting yourselves one to another, then the wives submit yourself to your husbands. The husbands love your wives. Those sort of things. When he's dealing with that, it comes together in the summation of verse number 33. And he says, to every husband, it doesn't matter the case, every husband, every one of you, in particular, so love his wife even as himself. So the primary duty of the husband, the special duty, is to love his wife. Her primary special duty is to reverence her husband. The word reverence is not a word we use a lot. Matter of fact, a lot of people seem not to know what the word reverence means. But it simply means to respect, to show honor, to show there's a sense of fear. It's not a trembling in fear that you're afraid he's going to slap you down, for example. That shouldn't be. But there's a fear of hurting or dishonoring or going against that word. And so that's the idea of the special duty of the wife. We've looked at the dimensions of her reverence and the description of her reverence. Tonight, I want to look at the demonstration of the godly wife's reverence. I've just got 2 points, and I'll not be very long. I mentioned to you that in these messages, particularly here on Sunday night, we're dealing with the husbands and wives. I try to keep it small, try to keep it bite-sized so that we can chew on it. We're living in a day where preaching on the home is so against the grain of our culture, so against the grain of what's been taught, what can be seen, that in some senses, we got to chew on it a little bit. But God's way is right. Amen. God's way is right. His way is best. Amen. And so I want to think about the demonstration of the godly wife's reverence. We did this with the man and saw how he demonstrates his love. 2 ways, demonstrates in words and demonstrates by their works or by their deeds. We might say that they demonstrate it by their declaration. They demonstrate it by their deeds. So tonight I want to deal with the words that the godly wife uses to demonstrate her respect or her reverence for her husband. And two things in that I want to deal with tonight if I can. Look with me back in Matthew chapter number 12, if you have your Bible open there. Matthew chapter number 12 and verse number 33 and 34. We've got the words of our Lord. Our Lord's preaching a sermon, and He's making a statement here, and this is applicable, and I'm going to apply it in this case. He says in verse number 33, "Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for a tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Amen. Now, here's what Jesus is saying about making the tree good. When he says making it, you don't have the ability to make a tree good or bad. He said, mark it. Recognize it. Make it so. This tree's bad. How do you know? Because it's got bad fruit. You mark it that it's good. How do you know? Because it's got good fruit. That's what he's saying. Well, then he goes on to talk about how do you know the fruit of what's in a person's heart? I tell you how. Because it comes out in their words. Somebody said when the bucket's let down in the well, whatever is in that well is what's coming up in the bucket. Amen. And that is true. So the words here are important. He's going to deal with their words. But here's the thing. If the godly wife properly respects her husband, she will be thinking good thoughts on her husband. Why the evil words come out? Evil thoughts. Amen. And so she ought to be thinking good thoughts about her husband in her heart. Amen. These good thoughts then will find their way out of her heart by way of words from her lips. Amen. She should respect him deeply, and she should fear his frown. Now, again, I say that fear, but you understand that. You've probably heard this story before. I remember hearing it years ago. A young lady was on a date with a boy. I don't recommend dating. I think it's dangerous. You get a boy and a girl alone together. They're not married. It's dangerous. But they were on a date, and the boy asked the girl to do something she knew was not right, and she said no, and he said to her, he said, "Are you afraid that your daddy will hurt you if you disobey him?" She said, "No, I'm afraid I'll hurt my daddy." Amen. Well, that ought to be the way that's this idea. Not that he would hurt her, but she is fearful of hurting him. Amen. And so when I think about these thoughts that she has and these words then that come out, I'll say this, if she respects him like she wants to, or like she should, then and she fears him, fears his frown as she should, then it'll show forth in her words to him and her words about him. Amen. And so when I think about that, Proverbs chapter number 31 talks about that great woman, that virtuous woman. And it says this in verse number 26. "She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness." He says you know a virtuous woman by her talk. You can tell a virtuous woman by her talk. Amen. Amen. I guess this would be a good place to plug this. Young men, if a young lady's talking dirty, she is dirty. Amen. It works the other way around too, young ladies. If a young man's talking dirty, he is dirty. It may be tweets, it may be texts, it may be in a love letter, if they do such things anymore. It may be a lot of different ways, but when you know the tree by its fruit, when dirty things are coming out, be careful, because that's what's in their heart. Amen. And so she's known by the words of her mouth, and her speech reveals her reverence. Her speech reveals her respect for her husband. Now, I said there's two ways that I want to deal with that tonight. First of all, she speaks respectfully of him in his absence, when he is not there. Yet she speaks respectfully of him.
The godly wife reveals her reverence for her husband and shows how that she holds that reverence for him by the words that she speaks respectfully of him in his absence. You remember that Peter tells us that Sarah called Abraham Lord. Amen. I said to you the other day that if there was a 90-year-old woman, and we don't have a 90-year-old woman in our congregation, if there was a 90-year-old woman in our congregation, and your husband's 100, one night he puts his arm around you and says, "Hon, I think we ought to start a family," you'd probably say, "My Lord." Amen. Well, that was the case with Sarah. Sarah, and we laughed. Sarah laughed. Abraham laughed. Amen. God got the last laugh. Amen. But Sarah called Abraham Lord. If you want to turn over there, it's found in 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 6. And then we'll go to the occasion of it in Genesis 18. But look with me. 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 6. You might want to hold your place there because we'll be back in 1 Peter 3. Has quite a bit to say about the wife and dealing with her reverence for her husband. Verse number 6 of 1 Peter chapter 3. The Bible says this phrase from the mouth of Peter. He says, "Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement." Amen. And so Peter is recognizing, I underline that phrase, recognizing Sarah obeyed Abraham. Here's the phrase, calling him Lord. It's not that you have to bow to him and say, "Yes, Lord. Oh, my Lord, what can I get for you, my Lord?" That's not the implication. But that is the heart attitude. That is the way that it is to be. And when he says this about Sarah, he is commending her. He is bragging on her for that humility. Now turn back to Genesis 18 and you'll see the account that is given of this very thing when it happened. And there's several verses here that I'd like to read. Genesis chapter number 18 and verse number 9 is where we'll pick up. Genesis 18 verse number 9. "Then they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife?" This "they" is God and these two angels that are with him. "Said unto him," unto Abraham, "Where is Sarah thy wife?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent." And he said, this is God said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And Abraham and Sarah, or now Abraham and Sarah, were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, by the way, notice this, within herself. So she's not talking to Abraham. She's thinking, she's talking to herself about Abraham. She says within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also." You see that? So we see there she is speaking to herself. She's not talking to Abraham. She's not speaking in Abraham's presence. She's in her tent. She could hear through the tent wall. She understood what was being said. And she's calling him Lord in her heart. She's calling him Lord in her mind, in her thoughts. Amen. I say this, and I'm careful to say it, that perhaps sometimes we might not speak so roughly to our spouse if we think more honorably of our spouse. Amen. Perhaps she was thinking honorably of her husband, and perhaps it would help you and I to do the same. Amen. If you think about your husband, or when you speak about your husband to another individual, you ought not allow rude and impolite thoughts to wander around in your mind. Amen. I realize that part of the job of a woman to a man, the reason God made her a help meet for him, and I say this, it's funny, but it's true. Men need to be civilized. They need to be civilized. They need to be In a sense, they need to be housebroken. They need a softening effect. You see a place where just men live, and on the average, I know some men are neat freaks. Amen. I know one fella that said that he's the neatest fella I ever heard, I never knew of. Said he's so particular, he pulls his refrigerator out once a month and vacuums from behind his refrigerator once a month. And the fellow I was working with said, that's not being too strict. He said, I do it once a week. Well, I have never done it. I open the refrigerator from the front. I don't care what's in the back behind the refrigerator. If it ever breaks down, I'll pull it out. Amen. Yeah, get ready to move. I might pull it out. But here's a men tend on the average of being a little less domesticated without a woman. And a woman helps him in those areas. Now here's where I'm going with that. Sometimes because of his uncouthness. Sometimes because of his, seeming, well, if he loved me, he wouldn't just throw his clothes around like that. He may be doing a lot better than he would normally because he does love you. Amen. But even his doing better ain't doing much good sometimes. Amen. Well, God knows that. And he put those things together. So be careful the thoughts you allow yourself to have of your husband or of your spouse. Amen. I say it, put it in my notes this way. Be careful with your thoughts. Let Christ cleanse your thoughts. And let Christ govern your feelings. Let Him hold back your emotions and put governors on your emotions. Amen. Don't fall into the trap of using condemning language in your thoughts towards your husband. If you do, it'll start coming out your mouth. Amen. When you're talking, I'm not saying talking to him. I'm dealing right now about talking about him. Not in his presence, but in his absence, you show respect. Be careful talking to your friends. Amen. Be careful talking to your friends. Be careful talking to your family about your husband and the type language that you use. If it's condemning language, it's destructive. It's a destructive habit to get into. And by the way, the devil's used that to defeat and devour numerous homes. Amen. Some men lose respect in the neighborhood because the neighbors have heard things disrespectful about him from the mouth of his wife. Amen. So we ought to be careful. Amen. The women need to build up their husband in their own mind. And by the way, that's part of her job, building up a husband to the children. That they learn to respect the dad. They learn to love their dad. They learn to look up to their dad. Amen. Amen. And you should want even others. You should want the neighbors looking up to him. Amen. And that sort of thing. I'll give you this illustration and then we'll move on. I used to be very notorious for breaking axe handles. Every axe handle my father-in-law got, I'd break it. I didn't do it on purpose. It's just my inability. I hit it and it gets stuck, and rather than work it out like it should be, I jerk the thing and I break the handle. And he put a new handle in it and I broke it. And maybe he done it again and I broke it. And anyway, one day was and I wasn't there, but something was said. Mackie said, I'm going to buy Farrell an axe so he can use his own axe and quit breaking my handles. And my wife said, well, it's because he's so strong. Amen. So I got a new axe and a compliment at the same time, praise God, just for breaking my father-in-law's axe handle. Now he can't keep them at all now, amen. I found out what to get at. No, I'm kidding. But here's the thing. She, and using that illustration, she was thinking good thoughts on me. She wasn't thinking, he's just rough and tough and he don't know how to handle an axe. Amen. She was saying, well, he's so strong. Well, that's good. Amen. Give your husband or your wife, by the way, the benefit of the doubt in a lot of things, and it'll pay off down the road. Matter of fact, I'll just be honest with you. I think it's a good rule of thumb, you might say, to give others, whoever they are, give them a benefit of the doubt until you realize that they're beyond doubt.
Right.
Amen. So be careful how she speaks of her husband in his absence. Maybe it's in her own mind, or maybe it's as she's talking to others. Not say disrespectful things about him. Amen. And so, secondly, she not only speaks respectfully in his absence, but she speaks respectfully of him in his presence. When he is there, she has some things that she says. So, she shows respect in his presence. Here's one, and I read this somewhere. Somebody gave this information. I thought it was pretty good. He said, beware of interrupting the husband while he's speaking. You ever tried to talk to somebody and you can't talk to him for his wife telling him what he ought to be saying? And it shouldn't be that way. Amen. Amen. And it really shouldn't be that way vice versa either. That's a problem I have. I interrupt my wife a lot of times and I don't intend to. I know you make an excuse for it, but I do. But that's one thing we ought to be careful about. Show respect by not interrupting them. Matter of fact, a woman is commended by her silence. Amen. One of the things that we see in the Bible about a woman that commends her, that she's esteemed to be a wise woman by her silence. Matter of fact, the Bible even uses it as men. But in Proverbs chapter number 17, verse 27 and 28, he says, he that hath knowledge spareth his words. Amen. Don't have to say a whole lot if what you say carries weight.
Right.
He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Look at this. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Same thing goes with a woman. Amen. When she's quiet, she's esteemed wise. Amen. I had a teacher in school used to use that proverb. He said it this way. He said, it's better to be quiet and let everybody in the room think you're a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt.
Amen.
Amen. Proverbs 29 and verse number 19 says, a servant will not be corrected by words, for though he understand, he will not answer. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. So again, I'm saying that God said, and he's using the male character in that, but it works for the female as well, that we ought to be sparing with our words. Proverbs chapter number 11, verse 11 through 13. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Amen. Amen. We don't have to tell everything we know. Amen. That's what it's saying. And so, husbands about their wives about their husbands, be careful how you speak about them. Be careful how you speak to them. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. You know it talks about there's a time for everything under the sun? Everything, there's a season, a time and purpose for everything under the sun. Verse number 7 says this, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. Amen. So there's a time for that. There's a time not to speak and there's a time to speak. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse number 6. Better is an handful with quietness than both the hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. Amen. You remember that Solomon said that he'd rather dwell on the rooftop than in a wide house with a brawling woman. That brawling is the idea of fussing, contentious, always complaining is the idea. Amen. And so be careful the words you use. That's simply what I'm saying. She shows respect for her husband in the carefulness of how she speaks to him, and the carefulness of how she speaks about him. Let me give you a couple of more verses and we'll go to 1 Peter. I'll give you one more and go back to 1 Peter chapter number 3. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 verse 11, Paul said this, and that ye study to be quiet. That's not just talking to women. Amen. and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Amen. Now, we're living in a day of news bites. We're living in a day of constant news services. Things are being told. And there's a lot of things told that ought not be told. There's a lot of things we know about people we'd have been better off never to have known. Amen. And so he's saying, be careful, especially husbands towards their wives, wives towards their husbands. That's the deal, the thing that we're looking at. Back in 1 Peter chapter number 3, look at verse number 4 if you're back there. I better back up to verse number 3 if I can get it in its context. Who's adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament, look at this, of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. I underline that phrase, a meek and quiet spirit. Now, he's not saying that it's wrong for a woman to plait her hair or wear gold or wear clothes. He's just saying, be careful that you don't put too much emphasis on your hair and your jewelry and your clothes. Pay attention to your words. Pay attention to your thoughts. Pay attention to your attitude. Pay attention to your demeanor. Amen. In a meek and quiet spirit. Sometimes because of, and I don't want to get ugly here. Sometimes because of the way women wear their hair, it's so out there that they're loud. I mean, they walk into a room and it's noised because, there was a place back in North Carolina, they had a camp meeting and they got the people who call it, it's the land of the big hair. Because the women all had their hair, out like that. And some of them, I know it took 220 voltage to get it like that. I had to. Amen. But maybe it's their hair. Maybe it's their jewelry. Maybe it's their clothes. But it's loud. He said, you don't want to be loud. You want to be quiet. A meek and a quiet spirit. Amen. So I say this, ladies, not only should you beware of interrupting him when he's speaking, or beware of speaking much more than he does. In other words, let him take the leadership. Amen. But you should beware of using disrespectful words or even tones. As I said, that meek and quiet spirit that he talks about in 1 Peter 3, 4. Sometimes words can be said that in themselves are not harsh, but the tone has a harshness about it. Be careful of that. Amen. Some ladies might say this, well, if I'm quiet, if I don't speak up to him, if I don't set him in order, he'll just get worse. Matter of fact, they say my tongue is my only weapon against him. Beware of using your tongue as a weapon. Amen. It is a sword and it is a danger. It is a fire set up from hell, the Bible said. Amen. James talks about that. Be careful of using your weapon or your tongue as a weapon. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Look there. He says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Amen. You've lived in such a way, that conversation doesn't mean your talk, but it means you've lived in such a way that you win them without arguing. You don't have to argue with them. You don't have to constantly contend with them. Amen. I don't remember who, I heard an old preacher preaching this. And I wish I could remember who it was. He's probably dead now, but it was an old preacher. And he was talking about this woman that came to the meeting and he's preaching. And maybe he was her pastor. This lady came and she said, preacher, she said, my husband's a drunk. My husband's abusive. And I'm going to leave him. And he said, well, tell me what happens. She said, he goes out and drinks at night and he comes home. She said, matter of fact, he's drinking tonight. And she said, when he comes home, he'll slap me. I know he will. She said, that's what he does. He'll come home. He said, well, how do you greet him when he comes in the door? She says, I know he's going to be drunk and I know he's going to be angry and I know he's going to be mean. So I meet him like a wild cat. She said, I meet him at the door and I do my best to claw his eyes out before he gets in the door. And the preacher said, well, how about trying this? He said, how about kneeling down and praying for your husband? And when he comes in, meet him at the door with a kiss and tell him, ask him if there's anything you can do for him. Would he like a cup of coffee? And he said, try to win him with kindness. She said, he'll kill me, preacher. That's what he'll do. He'll kill me. He said, you try. So he said, a little bit later that night, and with the story the way he told it, he said, a little bit later that night, this man comes, calls him up and says, preacher, I got to talk to you. And he's crying. And the preacher says, what's wrong? He said, I got to get saved. He said, I'm just a no good for nothing drunk. I'm a wife beater. I'm just good for nothing. He said, I got to be saved. And the preacher said, what made you think that? And he said, well, every night when I'd come home from drinking, he said, my wife, I knew I was going to face a wild cat when I got to the door. And so he said, I faced her with my fist balled up and I'd go in a swinging. But he said, something happened. My wife was changed. And he said, she met me with love. And he said, all of a sudden, I saw myself for what I was. I was just a no-good drunk. I was just a wife beater. And I needed to be saved. Amen. You say, did that actually happen? He told it that it did. Amen. I know this. I know the Bible says that's the way to win them. Amen. The Bible don't say, fuss at him, nag him till you get him right. No, it says, you just live a meek and quiet spirit. Go on living for God. Let God take care of him. Amen. Amen. Proverbs 25:15 says this, by long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. Amen. Amen. Remember this. Jesus said, make the tree good. How you know it's good? It's got good fruit. Make the tree corrupt. How do you know it's corrupt? Because it's got corrupt fruit. Jesus said those words are going to tell on you. And he said he's going to judge us. Jesus said in Matthew 12:36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. God's recording our words. Amen. Now, I'll say this and I'm headed towards my conclusion. Ideally, this would be an ideal world, both the husband and the wife should be slow to wrath. But it's not always that case. On the average, men are a little bit quicker tempered, maybe, than women are. Amen. Seems like maybe on the average that women have a little bit more ability just to bite their tongue, bid their time. Amen. Wait for him to go to sleep so she can bash his brains in. No, I'm kidding. The best case, both husband and wife would be slow to anger. But if one has to yield, who ought to yield? Well, the Bible says they're both supposed to submit to one another. But if he's not submitted to her, then she's to submit to him. It did say the wives be in subjection to your own husbands. And so if one has to submit, it would be reasonable that in her place, she would submit to her husband, thinking honorable thoughts. The wife does not always have to get in the last word. Amen? And by the way, men, neither do we. It shouldn't always be that we've got to get the last word in. Amen. James says this about the tongue. I alluded to it. James 3:6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. That's what James said about the tongue. A tongue can build up a big fire that causes a lot of damage. Burns a lot of folk. You remember in the Old Testament, Rachel said in Genesis 30, I think it's verse 1, Rachel said to Jacob, give me children or else I die. She spoke rudely to her husband. Now, she's wanting a baby, I understand that. But she spoke rudely to her husband. And I understand it was not an ideal relationship either, because he's married to her sister and her sister's having all these children. She's wanting a child and she speaks roughly to him and he says, am I in the stead of God? Jacob had not shut up the womb of Rachel. God had shut up the womb of Rachel. But she said, give me children or let me die. So you know what she did? She got two children and she died having the second one. She got what she asked for. Sad. It'd be better to choose your words more wisely. Amen. It'd be better to be careful how you think those thoughts and allow those words to come out. Then, on the other hand, there's the case of Abigail. I mentioned her the other day. Abigail with a husband who was a fool. Nabal was a fool. And yet she used her tongue wisely and was raised to a place of honor in 1 Samuel chapter number 25. Amen. I say this, ladies, I'm talking about ladies, reverence their husband. If reverence will not persuade him, anger never could. If respect will never persuade him, rebellion never could. Amen. Therefore, the husband and the wife, this is to both of us, ought to make up our mind and agree never to shout or yell or holler at one another. Amen. I really don't think you ought to have to shout and yell and holler at your children. But you ought not yell and holler at your spouse, the one nearest and dearest to you. Amen. You say, preacher, shouldn't we ever shout? Oh, yeah, shouting ought to be reserved for praising God. Amen. Matter of fact, turn with me to the book of Ezra. Way back in the Old Testament, the book of Ezra, chapter number 3. And while you're turning back there, I will say this. I was thinking about this morning in Joshua chapter number 6, I believe it is, when they're going up against Jericho. I thumbed it in my Bible to see, but I think it's chapter 6. There came a place when God said, hold your tongue. You go around this city. Don't you say a word these 7 times. But on the 7th time, when I command you, Joshua said, you're to shout. So there's a place where the preacher is supposed to tell people, you shout. And when he says shout, you know what they're supposed to do? Shout! Amen. But it's to praise the Lord. Ezra chapter number 3, verse number 11, if you found your place there. They're rearing up the temple, the new temple. The Bible says in verse number 11, and they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because He is good, for His mercy endureth forever towards Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Amen. There's a place for shouting in the house, but it ought to be shouting the praises of God, not shouting condemnation at one another. Amen. Husbands ought not curse their wives, and wives ought not curse their husbands. Amen. Shouting ought to be in praise unto the Lord. I've got some verses here. Psalm 5:11. These are not all of them, but just a few. But let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because Thou defendest them. Let them also that love Thy name be joyful in Thee. Psalm 32:11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy. So shouting is for joy, and it's for praise unto our God. Shouting is not in anger at one another. Psalm 35, verse 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad. Thy favor, or that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. Psalm 47:1, O clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Psalm 132, verse 9, let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. Amen. I say again, shouting should not be towards one another, but should be reserved for praising our God. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed as they come with a song. We'll talk to you after service. Yes, sir. Appreciate that. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a song. If the Lord spoke to you, you need to come. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. Perhaps it might be that we need to ask God, Lord, help me work on my spirit, work on my words, work on my thoughts, work on my attitude. Help me to praise You. Heavenly Father, thank You for the Word of God, the truth of God's Word. Help us, dear God, that we might walk in it. And Lord, I pray, meet this brother's need. Help him, Lord. Help us as we come before You this evening. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. We're going to sing. The Lord spoke to you. Would you come?